Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong.
Little Motown for you on a Thursday. DGS, attorney Brad Young joins us as he does a couple times a week. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon, sir.
Brad, I know you are a religious fellow, and we've talked about that many times. And I always appreciate your perspective. Did you hear our discussion, or if not, have you heard the case about the college student who wrote an essay about gender but only cited the Bible?
You know, I'm not familiar with that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you guys talking about it. I was busy charging clients.
Yeah, well, that's the most
good
important
for you.
Thing. That's the most important thing. Essentially, it's a college freshman or sophomore who's in a class, and they're trying to teach them how to do essays and papers, et al., IBID, all that stuff. We've all done it. Annotations, citations. And she wrote a 650-word essay about the Bible and what the Bible says about gender. And she got an F. And they said, you didn't do the assignment. This was not the assignment. And so a bunch of religious conservatives got behind it and were complaining. And so they said, okay, we won't give her an F. It's not going to affect her long-term grade. And we're just kind of taking apart that in particular and just religion in society and so forth. Just if you have any thoughts.
Well, I do. And I guess the thoughts that comes to my mind is I'd like to know the scope of the assignment. In other words, if the college professor, and I just looked it up online here, it looks like it was at the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
If the assignment was not limited to your sources, then I'm not sure that flunking someone because they cited a source that was not prohibited by the assignment, then you're just flunking the student based upon a citation, whether it be the Bible or the Quran or the Hadith or anything. If there were no parameters, then I think that would be discriminatory. You can grade down on how the assignment was written and how it was constructed and how it was defended, but simply citing sources that weren't prohibited, to me, that sounds like does sound like some degree of religious discrimination, not because she cited the Bible in particular, but any religious text in general.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Brad, you've been billing clients and I've been jacking around. Neither of us have been keeping up with the Admiral testifying about the second strike on the drug boats. But as I understand it, the position is going to be that we thought that we had all the lawful reason we needed because the two gentlemen that were outside the boat hanging on this boat that was on fire were still in the fight, quote, still in the fight. And what worries me about that is that we're not talking about the rules for Sunday afternoon touch football with the kids. These are the rules of war. And so someone, a lot of someone's thought over the decades and centuries that it was a good idea to say, if someone is blown off of a ship and they're in the water, they are not fair game. And I just, I feel like this administration, like none other before, have been saying things basically like, well, yeah, but. I know that's the rule, but these are bad people. These are garbage, or these are this, or these are that. And as you know better than me, that's why we have the law. So that you don't go, yeah, I get that's the law, but you don't understand the situation here. I know this guy's guilty. I know OJ did it.
Yeah, it's not just a good idea when it comes to this, the idea of killing shipwrecked persons. It's not just that we do it because it's a bad idea to do that. It's specifically federal law under 18 U.S.C. 2441, which incorporates the Geneva Convention, which includes you cannot kill shipwrecked persons. Now, if they're in the fight, generally speaking, and I've read about this many times in the past, that means that the people have access to weapons, or that they have access to explosives, or that they have access to something to fire back at the, for example, in this instance, it would have been an aircraft, something to fire back at the U.S. aircraft. We don't know whether that exists here or not, but it really raises, I think, the underlying major issue here, which is this is why we don't have the Pentagon doing police actions. All right. You don't go in with an F-35 with Hellfire missiles when really what you're trying to do is to arrest people. Police officers have guns when they arrest people. So if the bad guys shoot back, you can then protect yourself. But the cops don't go in to blow up the house and then go in and put handcuffs on the corpses. Because that's the difference in essence between the military and the police.
Brad, what about a question? Just to, this may or may not be relevant, but you're the lawyer, so throwing it at you. How do we have jurisdiction over international waters that are 2,000 miles away from our shores? How do we prove that whatever is on that boat is intended to come to the United States, is going to be coming to the United States? I mean, is that at all relevant?
To some extent, it isn't relevant, and I'll tell you why. Because once you get beyond 12 miles, the international code is that a country has complete and total jurisdiction in a 12-mile range from the coast of their country. So once that boat goes beyond 12 miles, then it's in international waters, meaning that there is no jurisdictional issue. We can take action in that instance, just like we do in many times, whenever, for example, in the Gulf outside of the Middle East, oftentimes our Navy ships will go in and interdict ships that are carrying illegal or banned items to Iran or North Korea or elsewhere. So we could do that. But again, they interdict and intercept. They don't just blow up. Mm-hmm. And that's in essence the difference that you have here. So I don't see it as a jurisdictional issue. I see it as a foundational issue of the military acting as if it is in the middle of a war, when really what they're doing is police actions, which should be handled by the Coast Guard, not the Air Force or the Navy.
Interesting. Is it? This might be a weird transition, but is this at all related to complaints that people had about the use of drones during the Obama administration? And it was not just him, but it was a big story during his administration. What is that a similar concept that, you know, I know that it's different part of the world. You know, it was part of the war on terror or whatever, but it's an interesting to me thing where you're going to just send a drone and a missile, a bomb, right, that is indiscriminate, and you'd then either do or do not hit the target that was intended, because you're not going to know exactly until you see up close.
Well, it's different in terms of how the targets are recognized. For example, during the Obama administration with the drone strikes, those individuals were identified as terrorists. And once a person is identified as a terrorist, now the legal angle changes. This is why, and most people don't know this, but this is why, whether it's the United States or Israel or other countries, they have attorneys that oversee military actions before they're taken to make sure that the strikes are legal, to make sure that they comply with international law. Attorneys are very involved, which I know sounds counterintuitive. I mean, you know, who wants a bookworm, a lawyer? You know, you want Rambo is who you want. It is important. And so that's why attorneys during the Obama administration could identify the enemy combatants, justify the strike, because these are people who are terrorists. And they can be taken out, so to speak, because they are terrorists. But the drug runners aren't identified as terrorists. They're identified as drug runners. And so that makes it incredibly legally murky as to whether or not the Air Force or the Navy can take them out as opposed to stop the boats and arrest them.
Brad, you have a couple of stories here. The grand jury weighing the second criminal case against Letitia James and James Comey.
Yeah, the prosecuting attorney in the first case, Lindsay Halligan, she was not appointed. And I said it on here. Actually, I said it on Camo X a month ago on my Wednesday morning segment that these charges would be dismissed because the Department of Justice violated federal law in the appointment of Lindsay Halligan as the prosecuting attorney. So that the Letitia James indictment was dismissed. The James Comey indictment was dismissed. But now the Department of Justice is using actually an attorney based here in St. Louis. His name is Roger Keller. He's an assistant U.S. attorney. He's now bringing the indictment against Letitia James. And so that problem with the prior indictment was fixed or cured. And now this can move forward, but it cannot move forward against James Comey because on that case, the statute of limitations has expired.
Brad, fun fact, Roger Keller is a good friend of mine.
Interesting.
Yeah. His daughter.
I've heard his name.
His daughter and my daughter were besties.
Well, now he is. He was on a fast plane to New York or Virginia, I believe, on a fast plane to Virginia to bring this indictment against Letitia James. So that cured the problem. And it truly is a small world, as you just identified. But that problem with that prior indictment has now been cured. So now this can move on. If this grand jury indicts her for a second time, then we'll have to actually deal with the merits of the case.
Yeah. Roger has very different political and religious views from me, but he's a good man. So hopefully he'll do the right thing. OpenAI loses fight to keep ChatGPT logs secret.
Well, here's why I think this is a huge story that's not getting much coverage, because right now, every single person in America who goes to ChatGPT and puts something in, and ChatGPT has been fighting this, OpenAI has been fighting it, and they lost today. But every single query or prompt or question or chat on ChatGPT has to be turned over to the New York Times, because the New York Times is suing ChatGPT for copyright infringement. Because if you go to ChatGPT and put in, hey, tell me what this story on the New York Times says, it'll tell you, and you're not paying for that story. And so there's an enormous copyright case. But what folks don't know is every single prompt that's put into ChatGPT for the past several years now has now being turned over to the New York Times and is subject to review.
Wow. So thank God I've never put anything hinky because I'm a hinky guy. But so people who put hinky stuff in there, they're not probably going to get dimed, but they could.
Well, they're not going to get dimed. You're exactly right. But the point is, the New York Times is trying to find, and they're entitled to do this with discovery, they're trying to find every single instance where somebody put in, look up this article from the New York Times, so that then they can count that as damages in their lawsuit against ChatGPT. So chances are, if somebody put something in, I mean, a couple of examples come to mind, but I don't want to say it on the air, but something hinky. Your phrase. If somebody puts in something hinky, I don't see anything really coming from that. But the point being is that we have this false assumption that things we do online are secret. And truly, there is nothing secret online. There is no privacy online. And so if somebody did put in something hinky on ChatGPT, then at least someone's going to be reviewing that just for the purpose of seeing if it involves the New York Times.
Is it, knowing nothing about the law, is there any restriction on how they can use information that's not directly related to their complaint? Like, in other words, they can't look at everything they see and go, ooh, that's a juicy story. Let's follow up on that.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I can't categorically say anything one way or the other because there's not a restraining order that I saw placed on this particular discovery request. And what ChatGPT said is they said, we want to give you New York Times every single chat that involves the New York Times. But the New York Times said, how do we know you're not lying to us? So you've got to give us all of the prompts and chats that have been done. I think last count was over 20 million chats or prompts are now being turned over to the New York Times. They get to sift through all the information to see what is relevant and what's not relevant and what someone can do with it. I don't see that there's any restrictions from the court that's placed on what the New York Times can do with that information.
That seems
scary.
Yeah, not great. I mean, that would seem to be, I don't know, just way too much without having some kind of scalpel to hone down what they can actually use.
So how they're going to do it, though, is very simple. And that is the New York Times is going to dump all that. And ironically, they're probably going to use their own AI to sift through this information.
Good point.
Because no one can read 20 million prompts. Right. No human being can do that. So they're only going to be presumably searching for things that involve the New York Times or compare it with articles that were published to the New York Times. But listen, if that nerd with tape on his glasses working in the basement of the New York Times wants to say, hey, let's see what somebody says about this, and they put in that, I mean, there's no way to stop that from happening.
Huh.
All right, buddy. Great segment as always. Thank you, Brad.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 223. So as you know, we're doing Operation Food Search again through Hardee's. We ask you to go through Hardee's, give a dollar, give 10, give 50. Join us for the final show of the year on the 19th out at the Hardee's in St. Peter's. It's always fun. It's like when Jerry Lewis would wrap up the telethon and people would bring in the big checks and he'd start crying. Like, it's really super cool. Chris Ranji is going to be at the Hardee's in Valley Park from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., brought to you by Jerry Kelly. Thank you very much, Jerry Kelly, for sponsoring that. And he's collecting cash for Operation Food Search, and that goes into the DGS coffers. So if you want to meet Ranji, get out there to the Valley Park Hardee's and be generous. So thank you guys for that.
Yeah, that's tonight, by the way.
Tonight.
So yes. Make your way over soon.
Kind of ran a little bit.
You ran to the microphone?
A little bit.
Not supposed to do that.
I know.
Boy, have you ever done it like really badly?
Yes.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yes.
You sit there and you're like coughing and you can't catch your breath because you're like, I just sprinted.
I can tell you this much. 9 out of 10 times I have been close or late to my segment are because of my boss, Steve Moore. Steve, you guys have experienced this. Like, everyone loves his office. It's literally the corner office. Yeah. Everyone loves Steve. He's great at shooting the you know what. And you go in there, and he just keeps talking, and you're looking at your watch, and you're giving him, like, little hints, and he just doesn't care. And so you come back, and you're late. What are you going to do?
I mean, it's the boss, right?
What do you guys think about this? A Waymo took a left turn in Los Angeles right into the middle of a police standoff. And now we're going to have Waymo here. I didn't hear this until the story on KMOX last night.
There's a lot of Waymo news, because the New York Times had a story that the Waymo driverless cars were something like 86% safer than human-driven cars.
Wow.
That it was a huge difference.
So I'm open to that.
And that was all kinds of things. Car-to-car accident, pedestrian accidents, hitting stationary objects. Like, across the board, the Waymo cars were safer than human-driven cars, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And when you think about, first of all, though, you don't think about things like that, like turning into the middle of a police standoff, because it wouldn't be probably in the database that it's using to navigate, and it's not going to see it until it's there, right?
Yeah.
But how often is that going to happen compared to how often a distracted driver is going to hit a parked car?
Yeah.
But it literally happened in front of my house a few years ago. somebody hit our car that was parked out in front and knocked it up onto our lawn. Because we don't know exactly, but I had a theory that they were probably texting.
Yeah, it looks like with Waymo, there's not a date set yet, but they're initially going to be in the downtown area and then expand, you know, broader into the metro over time.
So if we're going to go over to Molly's and have that big giant burger, would you guys jump into Waymo and go?
I would, because Andrew has done it, and I don't want to look like a fraidy cat in comparison to him.
No one wants to look like a fraidy cat in front of Andrew.
I wouldn't do it, though, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really enjoy it when I did it the first time. It felt very strange. I did not feel safe.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like I was in a car that no one was driving.
There is a sense of control to it, right?
Like, yeah, which is not like a great feeling.
But if it eliminates, so let's say there are people that are conscientious drivers who like control, but then there are the people you see that are never looking at the actual road. They're always on their phone. I mean, I have seen people with their phone propped up on the dashboard watching a TV show.
Well, you know.
Oh yeah,
it gets boring driving.
Oh yeah.
Sure what are you doing?
Yeah.
But like, do I trust that person more than a Waymo? I don't.
Would you guys say it's more or less than 50% who are in some way using their phone while driving?
More. I'm going to say 90% of people are.
I mean, if you're saying in some way, including people that are using voice to text, it's probably more.
Or like even just changing a song. Like I'm guilty of that. Same. Like, oh, I need to get the right playlist up. Like, why is that better than texting? It's not. But yeah. I mean.
There's a port on a western bay and it serves 100 ships a day.
Does it sound like Obama?
The time
yes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
That'll be one of those things you can't get out of your head now.
Let me be clear. Randy. You're a fine girl.
It's a good tune. So we're talking about this college freshman who got an F because she wrote her paper about the Bible as opposed to what the assignment was. Speaking of freshmen, have you guys seen the story about the freshman who was sent to Honduras?
So, like deported?
Yes.
Okay.
She's a freshman in college. She was brought to the United States when she was 7 from Honduras. She is a business major out east, and she doesn't have a lot of money, and she hasn't seen her parents for a year. And a family friend donated the money for her to fly to see her parents in Texas. And when she got to the gate, they said, "Hey, there's something wrong with your boarding pass." and they arrested her. And they shackled her, her hands and her feet and her waist, and they flew her to Honduras. And then in another case, look this up, they were, the guise was that members of the United States military who are married to undocumented people, they were having reviews for their green card. That was the guise. But when they got there with their military spouse, they arrested the military spouse. Now, I can't quantify it, but in all the discussions that we've had here in the DGS about illegal immigration, I'm probably the most not okay with it. But man, oh man, you sold us a bill, just a bill of goods here, that we're just going to get the worst of the worst, and there's like a million of these people before we ever get to anyone's dad or mom, and that just hasn't been the case. And things like this, a 19-year-old girl who's been here since she was seven, has no memories of Honduras, shackled and flown to Honduras, military spouses, like, it's just not okay. It's not okay with me anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, you always have to ask yourself, is the punishment fitting the crime? This is a 19-year-old girl. She didn't make the choice to illegally enter the United States when she was 7 years old. If she did make the choice, then her parents are pretty weak-willed, you know? Like, she was along for the ride on another person's decision, and she's just snatched from everything she knows and is sent back to Honduras. And by the way, we're going to humiliate you by shackling you, your wrists and your ankles and your waist. I mean, what is the point of that? Is that an appropriate response to someone not being here legally? 19-year-old girl. Is that appropriate?
Not to me.
What are you accomplishing by doing this?
That's such a good question.
Yeah, it is.
What benefit does anybody get? Because this is not a person who is taking advantage of the system. This is not a person who isn't. I mean, if this person gets a job, be paying into Social Security. A lot of the people that are doing that are paying into Social Security, and they will never get it. But then at the same time, we are pardoning. Was it the guy from Ecuador? Was it Ecuador?
Honduras.
Honduras. Was it saying it was Honduras?
I think so.
So we are pardoning a guy who was convicted, not accused, convicted of bringing in hundreds of thousands of tons of drugs or pounds of drugs to the United States. We're pardoning an elected official taking money from foreign entities, but we're taking a 19-year-old student and putting her in shackles. Somebody, again, who hasn't broken the law, who has done nothing wrong. And I love this, you know, Aaron Abbott, illegal is illegal. Yeah. How many people in your life do you know break the law? Do they deserve to be thrown in jail just because you broke the law? I mean, there are a lot of people breaking the law. Do you feel the same way about shooting people that are hanging off a boat? Yep. It's illegal to shoot them, so it's illegal. I mean, we can't just be like, on this one issue, illegal is illegal. And then on others, we're gonna pardon people who did way worse things. Actual criminals. People who were convicted by juries. And, you know, they're only like, oh, the department was weaponized. A jury of United States citizens convicted these people. And we're going to pardon them, and then we're going to take someone who's done nothing wrong and shackle them. Now, again, if you want to go through the process of like sending them a letter, hey, we need to verify you are this, you are not, you need to go through this process, you've been here this long, but why are we treating a person who's done nothing wrong like they're the criminal? Again, it's one thing if you're like, hey, there's people we know are committing crimes and we're going to get them and arrest them and send them away. Okay, I don't think anybody's going to complain about that. I'm not. Right? You find someone from MS-13, you know they are. But you still have to prove it, though. You still have to prove your case. And this is all being done without due process. And if you don't understand the law of due process, it is not just for citizens. Every person in the United States is awarded due process or afforded due process. Did she get a hearing?
I don't know.
Certainly not, because she was at the airport handcuffed and shackled and thrown on a plane. This is the problem with not going through a process and following the law. You have to prove that someone's committed a crime. You don't just get to say that they did. And no matter how much you yell, Aaron Abbott, I'm tired of crime. Listen, you still have to prove that the person committed the crime. I don't get to say to you, Aaron, you're a criminal, bye, just because I said so. You have to prove that. That is the foundation of the United States legal system, that the you have to be proven guilty. And in fact, you are presumed innocent. And it doesn't just apply to citizens. It applies to anyone who is in the United States of America.
I also disagree with Aaron. He says that all these illegals are not assimilating.
Sure, it sounds like she was.
I mean, alliteration aside, that's just not, that's not knowable. Like, not, they're not,
it's an ignorant statement.
They're not monolithic. Not, are there people who are here illegally who are not assimilating? 100%. Absolutely. Are there people here illegally who have committed heinous crimes? Yes. Yes. Do they all do it? No. Do none of them assimilate? That's an inaccurate statement. That's yeah. That's what's called hyperbole.
This is also idiotic because there was the argument that Italians weren't assimilating 200 years ago or 150 years ago. What happened over time? You don't just assimilate automatically. Well, as an entire group of people, it took time for the Irish to assimilate and to become more a part of the fabric. It took time for Italians to do the same thing. And we sit here and I mean, it gets just complete ignorance. Do you not understand how things work over time? They don't happen instantaneously. And we are still a nation of laws bound to follow the law. And Aaron's like, well, you're not the authority. I know I'm not. But if a cop just came to you and said, you committed murder, you're going to jail, you would not be okay with that. You can't say it's okay to do to someone else, but not to me. I mean, it's just stupid.
I mean, maybe this is a question for another day, but what is the American culture that people are expected to assimilate into? What is our widespread agreed upon culture that you believe that these immigrants are not assimilating into?
Yeah, I
don't know the answer to that question. There very, very well may be a great answer to that question. Yeah. I don't know what the answer is.
Like, the basics could be simple, right? You're not breaking the law, right? You follow the laws of the state, the city, the state, the country that you're in. That would be one way of assimilating, right? You try to learn some of the language. You try to get by day to day. You know, you put money into the economy. I mean, there are plenty of ways to do it. And I don't even know why I'm even talking to this guy, Aaron Abbott.
Well,
who's complete,
he's not making any sense.
I mean, it's complete nonsense. What are you bringing up even Sharia law for? It's nothing to do with anything.
Well, they have Sharia law in Honduras.
What are you talking about, dude? I mean, like, don't speak in talking points. Use your brain and think for a second. If a person didn't do anything wrong, or if they are just accused of a crime by any agency, a city government, a state government, or the United States federal government. You have to prove that that person did the thing you said they did. You don't just get to say they did and then punish them without going through the process. Period. That's what protects you too, you dope. So that somebody can't just come and point a gun at your head and say, you're going to jail because I don't like you.
So Corey Hall is asking an interesting question. He says, at what age is a person brought here as a small child illegally responsible for their citizenship? I mean, it's an interesting question. I tend to look, I just try to put myself in that person's shoes. Let's say my parents came here illegally when I was 7 and I turn 18. I want to go to college. I don't think my first instinct as an 18-year-old girl is going to be, I should self-deport out of the only country culture I have ever known. I guess my question to Corey is, what do you expect the 19-year-old girl to do when she's been living in the United States vast majority of her life?
One more thing with Aaron. He said, when you said, how do you assimilate? He said, American values per the Constitution. And just now he said, in this case, she flew here and was illegal. Why does she deserve due process? Dude, read the Constitution.
Yeah, you don't even understand it. The Constitution provides her the right to due process,
it's
whether she's a citizen or not.
Just for citizens.
Idiot.
If you are in the country, you get due process according to the Constitution.
So as an example, if you are a person from any country and you come here on a vacation and you're accused of a crime, you're not trying to stay, you're not trying to do anything, you're just here and you're accused of a crime, you get due process even though you're not an American citizen. It's no different in this case. And here's the crazy part, guys. I didn't read this before, but I'm just looking at this while we were talking. So when she was told there was a problem, she was allowed to call her parents. They called a lawyer. A federal judge issued an emergency order that barred her removal from the U.S. for at least 72 hours so that the case could be reviewed. They sent her out the next day in defiance of a judge's order. So, and by that notion, the people that deported her broke the law. Hey, illegal is illegal. So they need to go, right? They need to go to jail because they broke the law. Or is it okay because you agree with targeting this particular person? It's insanity. If the laws don't apply to everyone, then they don't cover anyone.
She serves them whiskey and wine. They say, Brandy, you're a fine girl.
You're a fine girl.
What a good wife.
People.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep on learning.
Welcome back, DGS 250.
Soldier.
I'm even more out of breath.
What are you doing out there?
Talking claims.
Oh, well.
Oh, nice. That's a good excuse,
yeah.
Claims was inviting me to all these muckety-muck holiday parties, and I had to tell them the truth. I gained 25 pounds this year, and I can't fit into any of my blazers. But I've lost 15 pounds in the last month.
Okay.
So I don't want to get an interim blazer, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go drop a couple $100.
No, I wouldn't do that either.
On a blazer that isn't going to fit me.
Yeah.
And blazers are all I have.
Although a little big is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I literally don't own dress pants and a belt.
Yeah. Can't blame you. I do, and I wish I didn't.
I got a new belt yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, I needed
one.
Oh,
it's National Cookie Day.
Yeah, that's why we have cookies.
We're eating cookies currently.
We're eating Amy's cookies.
Yeah, does Amy know this?
I think so. But whether she does or doesn't, it's kind of, she's out of town for a week. Those cookies aren't going to be good in a week. So if she didn't approve it, everybody's doing her a favor anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I was under the impression that a separate tray of cookies had been brought in that were identical to the Amy cookies.
No, these are Amy's.
Okay. Yeah, they were on her desk, and now they're not. I mean, again, if this was against Amy's will, I will buy another set of cookies. I mean, yes. I've only eaten three of them, but I will buy more cookies.
I just want to remind everybody that I touched some papers on Amy's desk, and it became an international incident for a week.
That's true.
So I want to bring attention to who.
But you also ate some of those cookies.
Who exactly among us peeled the cookies off of her desk and?
Oh, I don't know that. Who put them out there?
No idea.
Oh, I thought it was you.
It wasn't us?
I thought it was you.
Oh, well, that makes it even better. We're off the hook.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Because once anything's in that public area, it's public fair game.
That's I thought Kevin did it because he keeps saying, I'm eating Amy's cookies.
No, I did not do it. They were there and opened, and I'm like, oh, good, I will partake.
That is the due process.
Yes. I didn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't do the process.
Well, I didn't do the thing either.
Travis Kelce says he and Taylor Swift have literally never had a single fight in the 2.5 years of their relationship. And people are going crazy about this. And a lot of psychologists and therapists are saying, oh my God, no. Anyone out there, if you've been in a relationship for 2.5 years and you've never had a fight, you're not in a real relationship. Thoughts?
Okay, so let's define what a fight is. Is it simply a disagreement? Or is it shouting? Is it days of anger? Like, I think we have to define that, because I would tell you this, by my definition, I have never been in a fight with my wife in more than 30 years.
How do you define it?
Shouting, like aggressively being at each other's throats, or ignoring each other for periods of time because you're angry. It's never happened. I mean, have we argued? Sure, but I don't think an argument is a fight.
I think it is. I quantify that.
But
as
I don't
a
mean, and I would say even an argument is a strong term for the way it's gone about. It's always a calm conversation. It's never, I mean, I know it's weird for you to see this from me, but that is a fact that it has never gotten to raised voices.
Dave Hines says, maybe all you need is a ton of money.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would be easier to not fight it. And also, let's be clear, they don't live with each other. I think that adds
helps.
A layer of stress to any relationship. Now, here's where I'm at with it. I was ready to rip these two apart, Travis and Taylor. I'm like, well, you're not even in a real relationship. But then I found out that this was revealed during an interview with George Clooney, who said that he and his wife have not fought in 10 years. And I'm like, well, that sounds right, because that's George and Amal.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I do think it comes down to what you're defining as a fight. I think everybody disagrees. That's impossible to avoid. But fights are things that escalate to the point where maybe regrettable things are said, or it's really loud. You know what I mean? I don't think a fight is, we have a thing we disagree upon and we're going to continue to disagree about it and talk about it. I don't think that's a fight.
Okay. Officially, an argument is a fight. What you're talking about is a white trash fight.
Yeah.
I like the... I like Corey's argument here. Arguments aren't fights. Fights are based in anger. Arguments are based on stances, on, you know, like viewpoints. I think that's a good way to put it.
It's a good way to put it.
I would go by that definition. Yeah. So yeah, people.
I know that Susan was like your first and last, but have you been in romantic relationships where you did have a fight?
No, because I've been dating this same person since I was 19 years old.
How about friendships? Like what you and Andrew do, would you call that fighting?
Yeah. Like that would be a mild version of fighting for me. But I fight with my brother, fight with my dad, fight with some of my best friends, for sure. We've had those kinds of things that I would say, yep, that was a fight.
So you draw the line with your wife.
She's the only person.
I think that's wonderful.
In my life. And I would say this, my kid too, but my kid really hasn't. It's never gotten to the point where that was even a thought.
You're a good man.
No, I mean, I don't know about that. It's literally, everybody else.
With your wife.
It's literally everybody else.
And on top of everything, he's so humble.
I'm just telling you the reality of it. I'm not humble.
I forgot Andrew was there for a minute.
Yeah. So, and Bebby Cat is a good question. She said, I wonder if she would say the same. Yeah, I think she would. I would definitely say she would agree.
If
that
not,
we've never
you teach her a lesson.
No. I've never yelled at my wife once. Not one time.
It's amazing.
That's not amazing. It's just a matter of choosing to say there are certain people that are not subject to that.
I'm not a hero.
Rachel, want to do this?
Yes.
Take it away.
Let's talk about
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.